WSOPROTS.com, Anime and Manga Podcast. And the final podcast got back from break.
Woo!
Now all of our podcasts are back in their regular release and recording schedules and shit. Fuck yeah!
Yeah!
And so, as always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today, we are brought to you by Zazzle. Zazzle's mission is to enable every custom on-demand product in the world on their platform. They have thousands of products that you're able to customize to whatever you want, any color you want, any design you want, any size you want. Click the link at the bottom of the page or click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site and check out Zazzle and design some of your own products. That is Zazzle. They got customizable shit. It was kind of professional up to that last bit.
Maybe a little.
Yeah. And so while our shit is not customizable, we do have shit. So go to desktopprods.com/store and check some of that shit out. We are still in the middle of our starving artist slash burn sale. So now is probably the best time ever to get some DestoProds products. The prices have been slashed to the minimum amount that we can get. So that all the money is going to creating the products and paying the artists who design the products. Those guys did some really great designs for us, and they haven't got paid yet because no one's buying anything. So please, head over to distroprods.com/store, buy some of that shit, and help support some really fantastic artists, and hopefully they'll design some more stuff for us down the line and won't just delete our numbers and try to murder us in our sleep. Again. I'm your host, Dead Man. Today we have Bovion.
Hi, I'm suddenly scared that I invited one of these artists into my home this weekend.
And Punchatron.
Hello. There's a reason I don't tell anybody where I live.
So yeah, anime and manga. Yeah.
Strong start, Dead Man.
And continuing on with that strong start, I think I'll go first. Because, fuck you all.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so anyway, I've read a bunch of manga. So first up, I read a couple chapters of Gokichi. Gokicha. Yeah, Gokicha, I believe it is. Yeah, it's a cute little manga about a cockroach who looks like a little girl, but everyone sees her as a cockroach, and she just wants to be loved by humans, but everyone wants to kill her.
I've seen that. Probably the AMV contest at Anime North, I saw an AMV based on that, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, the
from what I saw, I didn't hear any dialogue or anything, but
yeah, the manga is really great. It's done in this really, really cutesy art style, and like the cockroach girl, she actually does look really cute. Like her cockroach shell is actually just looks like hair. And so she's running around, she's trying to be all helpful and stuff. Like someone drops something, she grabs it, runs up to it, it's like, hey, you dropped this, and they're like, oh my god, the fucking cockroach! Just grab everything they can to try to kill it. So she's running away, like, crying really cutely, but then everyone just behind her is like, let's kill the fucking thing! And it's really funny. And I only read two or three chapters of it. And most of the chapters consist of, like all the panels, all the pages are done in, like, four, like, two columns of four panels. And, you know, it's not exactly interesting to look at, but the art style more than makes up for it because it does fit the style of how the stories go. And it's just really cute art style with some really funny thing happening of just, I was really cute girl who has to get cockroach. And, oh my god, why does everyone want to kill me? And yeah, there's not a whole lot you can say on this thing. It's cute. It's funny. Check it out. It's Gokicha. So moving on to something bizarre, Tri-Piece.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm familiar with this.
Yeah, so there's a guy. I forget his name.
I haven't read him once. Fun enough, but I certainly read it for the first few chapters. I can't remember his name either, is my point, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's Nana?
Alright. That's one of his names, anyway.
Yeah, so, well,
more on that later.
Yeah, so the main guy. So the series focuses on a guy who has extreme amnesia.
How extreme is it?
It's so extreme. He can only remember how to do basic motor functions.
Wow, that is pretty terrible.
He doesn't remember what a shotgun is. Yeah, there's one scene where some people get, like, some kids, like, drag him on the street, and so he has a shotgun. He's like, what the fuck is this thing? Points out of his face and accidentally pulls the trigger. But they manage to get out of his way just in time, so he doesn't remember anything about, like, how the world works. Doesn't know what cars are. Doesn't know what any kind of weapon thing is. He just knows how to walk, how to speak, and how to eat. That's pretty much it. So, yeah, so he's brought in by these three kids. And one of them is dying. So, but there's some medicine out there that will actually, like, save her and it'll cure any illness. So these guys, they break into the nation of Zeiss, which is some weird evil nation. And once they're in there trying to steal the medicine, they discover, oh fuck, Zeiss is going to try to take over the world. And I feel like we need an of course button for that. For those who get that joke. Anyway. Yeah, so then they leave and they figure, hey, you know, it's fine, she'll be fine. But then Zeiss invades and kills the three children in front of the guy. So then he vows to end all wars. Cause yeah. Well,
technically, yes, it is in front of them, but what kind of happens is they nuke the country?
Yeah, kind of. Well, they bomb the country, then he runs in and finds all three of them dead. With conveniently non-charred corpses. So he can easily identify them.
They were killed by the concussion.
But everything around them was on fire.
They were killed by the concussion and protected by
suspension of disbelief.
There we go.
So anyway, yeah, so they die, and he decides that he's going to end all wars. Because, you know, he's so, you know. Yeah, this guy has pretty much no skills whatsoever. Except cross-dressing.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You're ruining it.
He cross-dresses in the first couple chapters. He cross-dresses in the first chapter. I saw it happen. So anyway, he goes to the other town, and Zeiss starts invading. But then Tripe shows up, which is an organization that is built on three pillars: love, peace, and something else. The third pillar is up for each member of Tripe to choose. One guy, who was part of that team, who kind of looks like Alucard, his three pillars are love, peace, and violence. So he goes in there and starts fucking up some mechs, because yeah, Zeiss has mechs.
That's kind of their
Yeah. And so the guy decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to join Tri-Peace. You know, we have the same goals. I just need to figure out what my third pillar is. I know. So he dresses up as a chick and pretends to be a member of Tri-Peace.
The cross-dressing is for reasons.
Yeah.
There's actually a halfway decent reason for it, but
I forget it.
I know what it is. I just...
Okay.
Basically, he horribly offends a female member of the team that shows up.
Yes, he does.
And it turns out he'll be working with her. So they're kind of like, you know what, maybe you should be a different person around her.
No, but like that's not the thing. Like, what, like the first time that happens, he actually doesn't, he's not actually going to be, they just kind of meet and then like when they actually decide, right, so I need to figure out how I'm going to feed these guys. I know, I'll dress up as another person. So he dresses up as a girl, and then that girl falls in love with him as a girl. Because she's pretty, and because guy as girl is pretty and abhors violence. It's a very weird story. Yeah, so yeah, and then he just pretends to be, you know, oh my god, I'm an awesome bitch. I'm the strongest ever. Fear me. And it works. It fucking works. And so he's now a member of Tri-Peace. And that's as far as I got.
Oh, it gets good. Especially yeah. When they start getting into his past and stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep reading this because this series is fucking insane, but... Yeah, that's... His three pillars are love, peace, and cross-dressing. Not exactly the stuff you expect to hear with every anti-war story. It's like, how are we going to end war? Violence, love, cross-dressing! But yeah, the art style is really great. I'm really horrible at describing art styles. But I do like it. It's really good, especially with the art on the violence guy. He looks real messed up. But he also kind of fits into the world. Like, he's real skinny, really long hair, but he still looks like he's part of that world, even though he kind of looks like he isn't. And the two other people on his team look great, too. The guy looks great as a guy and a girl, and don't read too much into that. But yeah, it's a really great story, real funny, and I'm going to keep reading it because it's really insane of just the amount of shit that he does with, I'm assuming it's going to get way more insane, because the violence guy is awesome. And yeah, it's great. So then, final thing that I read was Bloody Monday, the last season. So this is the third Bloody Monday series, and it's kind of strange, because in this one, the protagonist from the first two seasons is now a terrorist. Yeah. So wait, some backstory for this. So Bloody Monday, it was originally, like, the original manga was about a kid whose name escapes me, but he's known as Falcon Online. He's like a world-class hacker. He is one of the greatest hackers in the world. And his dad works for, like, this really secret spy organization thing. It's like kind of super, kind of secret cops. And he occasionally does some hacking for them. Because, you know, he's awesome. So when he's in a terrorist group, they try to destroy Japan using a bomb. They're actually using a flesh-eating virus and a bomb. You know, as you do. But then Falcon and his two friends, a high school archer and a high school karate kid, defeat a terrorist organization. Again, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
I know in like my senior year, I defeated like three of them. Yeah, so they save the world, and then it cuts to a few years later, where there's another terrorist group trying to use a bomb to destroy Japan. Yeah. Worked so well the first time. And then, once again, Falcon stops him. With the help of his friends, and also a new girl, whose name I actually remember, named Tobiki, who was actually from some, like, rival government thing, who doesn't have any emotions whatsoever, but then eventually gets them through the power of love. And sex. And then cut to, and then with this one, cut to many years later, where Falcon has just gone off the fucking map. He has disappeared, no one knows where the fuck he is, and then he comes back with Hibiki as a terrorist. Or I guess as a terrorist. And I'm pretty sure he's playing like some long con thing of he's actually working for Third Echelon. He's actually working for this organization thing, but they don't know he is. Like, he's under deep cover or something. I'm guessing that's what it's going to be.
Yep.
But yeah, this fucking series, I really do enjoy reading it, but every other person is a double agent. And not even kidding, like just pick a character, take all the characters, put them on a wall, throw a fucking dart, and there's a 50-50 chance that whoever that dart lands on, that person will turn out to be working for the other side. I'm not even kidding. And it can get very frustrating at times of just, it turns out, like, actually, I'm working for the terrorists, but then I'm working for the cops, then I'm working for this other group who has no idea what the fuck's going on. And it just gets overwhelming sometimes just figuring out where the fuck everyone's alliances lie. And it gets weird. And even with this one, it just starts out with super secret spy lady and hacker working for terrorists, but then maybe not really, and are they still fucking, or does she have, like, emotions now, or what the fuck is going on? And also, why the fuck do his eyes turn into Falcon eyes every time he hacks? Like, what the like? Seriously, this isn't like the reader can see a thing. People know that his eyes turn into Falcon eyes when he hacks. It's something he picked up from his father.
Like,
whose eyes turned into falcon eyes every time he shot somebody.
Like, did people take on the shape of falcons or something like that? Or
his eyes
turned like
his pupil,
Hawkeyes.
Hawkeyes. His pupils turn into slits and his eyes change color. And no one at any point goes, dude, what the fuck's going on with your face?
So you can see better.
It's so weird. It's a hereditary thing. Like, we know this. We know this for a fact. Someone says he gets his eyes from his father. And yet no one asks, so his dad's eyes turn into Hawkeyes too? What? Is he a swordsman? What the fuck is going on? And for anyone who gets that joke out there, thank you. But yeah, so Bloody Monday last season, it's still confusing, but I'm still going to keep reading it because I'm still interested. And I'm still going to keep reading it like 20 issues, like 20 chapters down the line. It's going to be like, what the fuck is going on? So this guy's actually working for these people, but he's actually working for these people, for pretending to work for these people, but then this guy working for these guys, but actually he's just some weird guy working for some slut. And there's a bomb, it's actually a virus, it's actually a fucking key code to unlock the bank vaults or something. It's fucking stupid. But it's awesome. At one point, an 8-year-old blows up in blood. It's awesome. It's so stupid.
I guess.
It's so stupid, but it's so awesome, but it's so stupid. Anyway, yeah, Bloody Monday last season. Fuck. Yeah, so, Bloody, what you been watching or reading?
Alright, watching, and I only have a couple things. One's just one scene I have to talk about. Because I've talked about the show enough, but it's from Fairy Tail, but I need to talk about the scene. Because this is the most ridiculous scene ever put into a series, and it is definitely one meant to throw the meat to the yaoi gobbling sharks. So this is in the Edelas arc. And for those of you familiar with the Edelas arc of Fairy Tail, you'll know that in the Edelas arc, Edelas Gray is best friends with Natsu. But Edelas Natsu. And he, instead of stripping off his clothes, wears a ton of clothes. So when Earthland Natsu ends up at Edelas Fairy Tail and sees Lisanna, who Natsu believes to be dead and is semi-sort of right, but not really.
Yeah, it's confusing.
He begins to cry because she was his childhood girlfriend and stuff.
Yeah, which is weird. This series hasn't exactly had a lot of relationship thing, and it's kind of up in the air whether they actually had a relationship thing, which it's weird.
Yeah, but anyways, when he cries, Edelas Gray, thinking Earthland Natsu to be Edelas Natsu, comes up to him and says, "Cry on my shoulder, just like old times. We're friends, right?" Natsu, being overcome with the strangeness of this place, he doesn't like things that are different, and the fact that Lisanna is there, says, "Gray, take off your clothes."
And then a million yaoi fanfic artists just splooged.
Pretty much. And I feel it's... I need to make note of the fact that the creators of this anime do this. They put stuff in there for people. Like fan service. And jokes about fan service. And characters admitting that they're giving fan service.
Yeah, Urza is kind of all fan service-y. But with the boobs.
Well, one of the other... one of my other favorite lines from Fairy Tail is... It's from the Tenro Island arc. Virgo. I thought I would help by digging this hole. Lucy asks, "Why are you digging in a bikini?" To which Virgo says, "I thought I would provide some service." And then there's the whole prediction of Juvia, like, 3 seasons before.
Yeah, it's...
Anyways, moving on from Fairy Tail, because I've talked enough about it, I just really wanted to mention that one thing, because it made me laugh so hard. So, other than our anime club thing, I have actually watched some other Digimon. The thing is, I don't know what fucking season it is. It's not season 3. I think it's season 2.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of trying to think of a question that to figure out, like, what season it would be.
Don't. I wouldn't really be able to answer.
Who's the main guy? Quote unquote, team leader.
I, once again, had no idea. This is a random episode out of nowhere, so I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Does the guy who have the goggles, is his hair bigger than his head?
Yes.
Probably season one.
Okay, season one, and it confused the living fuck out of me. Because this is not something you could just pick up and watch at any point, which is probably why I didn't actually watch it much as a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, I totally understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, it gets especially confusing because, like, with Digimon, none of the Digimon actually have names. Like, you always call them what their species is. So if there's more than one of a certain type of Digimon out there, you have no idea who the fuck they're talking about. It's like, there's like tribal Bunnymon. They have to save the Bunnymon from the Bunnymon, or else the Bunnymon get eaten by the Rabbitmon, and the Rabbitmon are fucking snakes. It's like, names are important.
Anyways, moving on from that.
And it gets even more confusing when they fucking digivolve.
Because then it's a different species, but it's kind of the same. And sometimes you add a prefix, but sometimes you completely change it. Like,
yeah.
Suddenly Gabumon is Greymon.
Yeah, like pretty much the... And a lot of them, I don't understand any of them. Except one time in Season 3, in Tamers, I managed to guess a Digimon's evolved form name before they actually said it.
I pretty much guessed with Metal Greymon. It's like, oh, he's covered in metal. I bet you're going to do Metal Greymon. Yeah, it'd be more creative to do something like Mecha Greymon.
Yeah. And then doesn't he turn to, like, War Metal Greymon or something?
Yeah, something like that. War Greymon.
Later, they do a fucking skeleton that's on fire.
Like, Dark War Greymon or something.
Because that's fucking awesome. Just so metal.
Anyways, yeah. Moving on from that, I have a show that I really only watched one episode of. Sorry, I've been a bit low on the anime. But this also confused me. And I watched from the first episode. So this anime is called Fantastic Children. And I'm just going to read you the series description I have right here. A group of enigmatic, white-haired children has been spotted at different times and places in Europe for over 500 years, always with the appearance of 11-year-olds, because people can guess their exact age. Sorry, I added that myself. They behave far more mature than they should be, never grow old, and seem to have supernatural power. What they have been seeking is a girl. And the only clue they have is a picture with a crescent moon. Now in the year of 2012, an athletic boy named Tohama is about to be involved in this centuries-long mystery.
So it's Children of the Damned meet Doctor Who?
I don't know. Visually, they get the blue-eyed thing, like the Children of the Corn. But I don't know what it means. So I'll explain kind of how the first episode goes. So we see one of the white-haired children that has been implanted into a family. And we hear this guy talking about how they're implanted in families. They grow up and then they wait a few years and they leave and whatever. And basically this kid, he doesn't want to leave. And the other white-haired kids are trying to convince him to leave. And then he doesn't. And then... Fuck that storyline. Let's go on to these kids at the deathbed of some other person. And then another white-haired kid shows up. And they don't like that other white-haired kid. They start to argue. And then they get scared. And then they jump out the window.
Yeah, this is sounding like Japanese Children of the Damned.
Then Toama, it's almost like he's in a different fucking story. But let me describe his character. Okay. Let's say... Goku and Naruto somehow conceived a child.
Cloning.
This child was then abandoned and raised by Tarzan.
What?
He eats a ton, he's really loud, really energetic, and he swings from trees and shit.
Well, that could still be Goku.
It's like, more Tarzan style than anything.
Like young Goku. Before he got the ninjas hanging out in the woods.
It's not very much Goku's style of getting around.
He did swing on shit with his tail.
We saw that. Doesn't have a tail. Saw that
in the first episode in the forest with the
swing. Anyway,
so... damn it, he's magic.
Actually, I don't know if he's magic. So he doesn't seem to know what his part in the story is. So
any child with white hair is magical.
This kid doesn't have white hair.
Okay, then he is not magical. As soon as he gets white hair, he is magical.
He sees this girl lying on top of a statue on his island. He then takes a boat to another island where his mother works as a street performer. Then he sees a kid running from people. And he decides to help him, but then not help him, but then help him, but then not help him. And then get mad at him, and then help him, and then not help him, and then... Fuck, I actually forget whether he ends up helping him or not. I know he causes a great deal of damage to public property.
Yeah, it's like, fuck this bus stop! Boom!
It's...
Hadouken.
Well, it's... It's 2012, but, like, there's nothing modern. I can't even remember the name of the place where they are, but it's a series of islands. So, anyways, yeah, it's kind of like that chase scene from Aladdin, but not awesome.
Yeah, what, there's no singing?
No singing whatsoever.
Oh, then fuck this.
So the kid goes back, turns out he's from an orphanage, and then he goes back to his home island, finds out the girl was from the orphanage too, and she gets taken back.
Yeah, it turns out actually twin siblings, and one of them was raised to be a monster to lead the neo-Nazi party into the future!
Yeah, we don't know, because that's where it ends, but like, we've got like two not interconnecting stories that in themselves... have separate parts of the story that don't seem to be connected or explained in any degree.
So the stories are magical children and a girl from orphanage that the guy was from?
Yeah. That is the kid that the guy didn't help in the city but helped, but didn't help but helped. That kid, that he's from the same orphanage.
Okay.
And those stories within themselves have segments that don't seem to line up. And nothing is explained. At all. Ever. It's like they're trying to do the Baccano thing, but they're really failing badly at it. Because Baccano you can follow if you try.
Yeah.
This, I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? Which probably explains why I only watched a single episode.
Maybe the second episode has all the answers.
I don't care if the second episode has all the answers. The first episode made me angry. I'm tired.
You just tilted out of the tire anime. Just, fuck this noise, flips over your desk and walks away. Just, fuck you. Fuck, suck. Children's show with a name I forgot.
Well, I keep having to look it up to remember, so. Which is why I'm looking at the description of the series right now. And I completely forgot to mention it for, like, a while. No, I didn't, because it's been a long time since we've been on a podcast, so I didn't forget it. It just feels like fucking forever since I watched this nothing of a thing. And while I'd like to say I was good and watched more, I wasn't. I didn't watch anything else.
Okay. So, Pudge, what have you been watching or reading?
Well, as per used, I guess it's pretty much reading. But, I just want to make a quick note on the new season of anime, which started 2 weeks ago. I think.
Something like that, I don't fucking know.
Or, this would be the second week of show. Yeah. Sometime this week. But there are a couple that which were actually very good. I was shocked at the quality of some of the ones that I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of. And I agree greater on in the new Aimless Wandering that will be up when it goes up.
Yeah.
but let's see. There's something that I didn't notice that I didn't talk about before was the Zetai Grand Children spin-off. Which Zetai Grand Children is a show put a government organization, Babel, who sort of is in charge of controlling and regulating efforts and stuff. And it's the three girl squad that go around fighting evil and crime and stuff.
Okay.
But the spin-off, I can't think of the name of it, but it's the Jedi Karen organization. And it follows sort of the anti-villain of the original series. And basically the main criminal organization that they fight, who this guy leads. And it's actually very good. And go check it out. It's like the Zetai Grandchildren unlimited Yokyo Stay or something like that. That's a very bad word, but it's the only thing this season that has the Zetai Grandchildren in the title. Check it out. It's quality stuff. There's 2 episodes out now. And, you know, there's actually some other very good stuff. Let's see. There's the new season of Mina Ike, which is just sort of a slice of life thing about three sisters. It's funny. It's nothing super special.
Okay.
There's Chemical Market, which is from the same team that did Sound with Kiyomani. So it's about a girl who lives in a market and has a band of friends that runs a rival, whose family runs a rival shop in the small market where they are, and they're sort of across the street from each other, and it's sort of, ha 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 ha, we're angry but not really at each other. Ha ha ha. The parents relationship, the kids are just friends. And then there's the Senran Kagura, which I'm not exactly expecting a whole lot of depth from. It boils down to a show about high school girls with boobs going to high school with boobs and learning to be ninja. With boobs. That's pretty much it for that show. That's just a quick, pretty incoherent write-down of the new season. It's a lot better when I write down the name of the comics. It'll be there, it'll be up. Go read that instead.
Yeah.
You can't decipher what I worded it just for the past minute or so.
Yeah. Amos Wanderings every other week. Only on DestroProducts.com.
The more you know, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle. All right. Now,
hey, did you know that any week that there's Dawn of Aimless Wanderings, there's personal issues about comic books?
Show, goddamn it.
Well, too damn bad. I gotta plug my own shit.
Don't throw it on your own time.
Personal issues, it's longer. There are more pictures.
But anyway, into what I've been reading. This one I stumbled across very recently, which is, well, it's brand new, which is the reason. But it's, and I apologize for the Japanese that I'm going to do this week, but it's Yatsukuno. And then, well, basically, the main character, Tachibana Tsukumo, is a very regular, little sporty high school girl who has, basically, the only big thing is that she doesn't feel any pain.
That must come in handy.
It's, well, sort of funny too, because pain is the way your body telling you that you're damaging it and so on and so forth. But in day-to-day life, yes, it's convenient.
It's like, oh fuck, I forgot to put on oven mitts, taking this thing out of the oven. Oh wait, I don't feel anything. I'm fine. Just run under some water.
Basically, she can't feel any pain, and she runs into elaborate on her a little bit more, but pretty much she has a memory of this boy who she knew from when she was very little, that she can't remember his name and so forth. He made some promise to protect her, and she remembers that and is sort of in the back of her head waiting for this guy to show up again and sort of take her away in a sort of swoony, lovey-dovey high school girl kind of fantasy way. But
yeah, she wants him to show up in a fancy suit surrounded by roses.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, with soft focus on and sparkles everywhere. Because fucking Japan, sparkle, 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 motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
Sparkle, brother. Yeah.
And
Doug Walker, your check is in the mail.
And so there's this sort of, he's not a killer. He's a serial fighter, I guess. Has sort of been around in the news, and you know, he's injured a lot of people and stuff, and it just happens that he injured one of her friends, so she's sort of on the hunt out for him as well, as all this is happening. This slasher character, who by the end of the first chapter, she runs into and pretty much gets arrested. What happens is this young boy shows up, and as it turns out, his name is Yao, and it's sort of revealed towards the end of the chapter that he's an immortal. So it's basically a story of Tachibana Tsukumo, the girl who came to kill me, and Yao, the immortal boy whose only wish is to die.
Huh.
Yeah.
Kind of standard for immortal guy.
Yeah, that's kind of their shtick.
He is just generic immortal person?
Yeah. But, you know, he's... There's a plot with this subject that makes... that would make you immortal and so far. But I'm sure you'll hear in later in the comic that they haven't delved into yet.
Okay.
But yeah, the... I enjoy it. It's an odd, a bit of an odd art style, but it works. It definitely works for this. And it has one of the more graphic in regeneration sequences that I've seen. Because in the first encounter, pretty much Yao gets cut in half. And comes back, basically. And, you know, they don't have any details on the embryo side of things.
Okay.
And, you know, to the top of his body, he flies up into the river over the fence because they're fighting the river side. And as the fight goes on, she's sort of being harassed into her by the flasher guy. Eventually, there's the panel of just his legs, pretty much, and they start, the intestines sort of start boiling, and, you know, the whole in stages kind of growing back.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much as soon as it was possible for him to stand up and support the human body, meaning pretty much their muscle is there. Very little muscle there. He gets up and kicks this guy's ass while he's still regenerating. And there's a whole few pages of this guy fighting with, from the top up, being bloody muscle tissue and fighting this guy.
Okay, so this is a manga for the kids, right? That's what you're saying?
No.
It's a feel-good family manga of the year?
Yeah. It's a lot of action, drama, fantasy, or romance, insane, and supernatural. Those are the tags, I think. So, get as you will.
Okay, so, parents! Your kids have a new favorite manga.
Yeah!
It has a whimsy to rival the likes of Pixar.
Yeah, that is exactly what I've been getting at this whole time.
Yeah. This no process is not held responsible for parents idiotic enough to show this manga to their children. You have been warned.
So I'll turn words later as it gets into the more headier stuff, but there's only been a single person cut in half.
Oh, well, this thing is pretty much pussy.
We're back. So, yeah, he's fine. Anyway, I should continue with another Japanese titled thing. I've been waiting to unveil this one because when I first saw it, it was very new. I caught it right at the beginning of it, started going up on the site quite frequent. And it's called Shogeki no Sama, and it is basically a cooking manga.
Cooking manga?
Yeah.
It works so well for video games, they brought it over to the manga world. Cooking. Woo! Adventure home.
Hey.
But it's a cooking etchy sort of thing.
A cooking etchy?
Weird. I'm not going to try and deny that it's weird. But
yeah. Will the rife pilaf fall into this girl's boobs? Find out next week.
It's more reminds of like the food the main character makes people orgasm. that is not exaggerated. Like, it's just that good.
I think I've seen something like this before.
But basically, the son, I forget his name, it's gonna bother me, but the main character is the son of sort of a family-run Japanese food shop. They do, you know, traditional Japanese dishes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was once a fairly famous chef, and he sort of settled down. I think the mother died many years ago, and this father and son working, keeping the shop and stuff, and they're sort of keeping the people who want to buy them at bay, and all of a sudden, after a certain conversation that he has with his father, he comes back, and one day from when he's closing down the shop, and he's like, "What the hell, Dad?" And that's like, I got a job offer in Europe, so I'm going there. And you said you wanted to be a super. You said you wanted to run the shop. You need to provide this tool for super high class culinary types." That I went through, and he goes there, and it's basically the story of him and his bosses and people being all and stuff and all hoity-toity and going, "Ha ha ha, I'm a commoner." Yeah. It's literally and the gift and passing moment. But basically, I know I've seen a hairstyle somewhere. And I don't particularly recognize the author that I have pulled up here. But actually, I'll take a look at the blue. Oh, okay. I'm not going to go in. I know this art from. Let's just drop that subject.
Is that okay?
But basically, he's this amazing cook who everyone looks down on, and he's trying to survive the school. And it's funny, it's hilarious, and amusing. And now I'm purposefully just coming up words that are synonyms of funny.
Yeah. It's the underdog cooking story of the generation.
Yes, yeah. You can say it.
Yeah. It's like Rocky, but with stir fry.
So, yeah. It's so much a cooking thing as it so much as they explain the stuff going in. It's more just, yeah, it takes place at like school for the culinary arts. Check it out. There's two chapters as of the 31st of December that aren't on the site that I go on. There may be others elsewhere floating around. But it's very good. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
So, that one. And the last one, which I sort of debated bringing up, whether I could or not, and I kind of decided I would because.
Okay. So, what is this fourth one that almost had to make it to the show?
It's called Sexual Hunter Riot.
Okay.
You see, you understand trepidation.
Yes.
Basically.
With a title like that, how can it not be a classic?
Basically, the story goes as such. There are demons called the Kyrio Mira. They live in another dimension and evade the human world through dreams. And pretty much the only defense that humans have been able to come up with are the hunters who rely on their sex drive as a power.
Okay, are you sure this isn't a hentai?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you really sure?
Shonen, it's not hentai.
What, you're saying shonen can't? You're saying hentai can't be shonen?
I mean, it has to be. Well, no, that's legal. By definition, that's illegal. But basically, our main character, Ryuichi, came from a long line of partners, and he's had high levels of power, and that has become an extremely powerful hunter. And he moved away from his hometown in middle school to wipe out the Kyrio Mira, and well, he was successful. That's long and short of it. He killed and wiped out a bunch of them, and it would seem that the demons would leave humans alone forevermore. But the victory came at a price, as his libido quickly dropped to zero. And he basically lost all power. But peace! Hooray!
What?
So, he's been gone from his hometown for years, and he comes back. And as he returns, he learns that the demons aren't so gone as he originally thought. But now he's in power, and he's pretty much right back. So he convinces his child friend, Mama Midori, and her female classmates would help him in this regard. And the story kind of unfolds from there. In a weird sort of... It's a weird sort of romance. Really.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
For that sort of...
I have it pulled up on MangaFox in front of me. Just looking at the cover for the first volume.
Yeah.
It looks skeevy. It's a girl with a really embarrassed look on her face holding up her skirt like she doesn't want to with no panties on.
That's the childhood friend.
Aw, yeah.
But yeah, it's not as
horribly skeevy and disgusting as it looks.
Yeah. I will admit, I was just kind of going through when I first found it. I was like, hey, the hell?
It's like, why is there a rape manga in MangaFox?
I am morbidly curious about this.
Being morbidly curious usually leads to the best stories.
Yeah, I am drawn to this. I just need to know what the heck is going on here.
And just people out there, when I say best, I mean there are two different kinds of best. There's best and then there's best. So the best are actually good stories. Then the best are the stories that are so fucked up they actually make good stories telling about them.
Yeah, but it's not without its skeeviness. I will. previous, but
the cover alone.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that most people would be turned off from this monk, but just look at the cover, just, ew.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, I'm sure people will be, and I can't, and I'm not going to force it down your throat, but no, if you read it, it actually has. Yeah. If you take out all the sex stuff, you can pretty good man, actually, if you did his force or something else that he lost or something.
Okay.
You'd actually have a pretty good idea left about demons and abandonment issues with your friends and stuff.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, understandable if you don't want to read it, but well, reach it up.
Okay, so we said that was it for you then?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. What we've been reading and stuff. On to news. So, first up, Gurren Lagann creator Kotaro Mori has announced that the final volume of the manga will be shipping in time for the end of the Japanese rebroadcast of the anime. So, the rebroadcast began a few weeks back on January 5th, and with the 27 episode run, it looks like the manga will be having only a few more weeks left before it ends. Yeah, so while the manga is going to be coming to an end, Mori did announce that a Gurren Lagann radio program would be beginning this month at some point. We don't know when this will start or how long this will run. Yeah, you can get Gurren Lagann on the radio because that's the best way to view it.
Yeah.
You know, why would you want the crazy visuals when you can have radio?
Someone describing the crazy visuals.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, you just punched him in the face and it went all black and white, looked like an aha video. It was awesome. Yeah, so anyway, moving on to the next piece of news. There's gonna be a Sengoku Basara stage play.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, Sengoku Basara is... it's fucking nuts. It's like...
yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm a dude with a spear, I'm gonna dive into a horde of like 8,000 guys and blow them all with lasers. Like a sick-ass helmet.
Yeah. Or, hey, I'm a guy who's got a horse who's got the outfit with handlebars and exhaust.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to start a laser eye fight with you. I'm going to smack talk you and then do other stuff. Let me think of something else. I'm thinking of Kinkabacha. Badass rumble. Anyway, yes, this is happening. They're doing a stage play and they have recently announced the casting list. The full cast list of all 18 members is currently up on the Sengoku Basara 3 U-Stage stage play adaptation site, which is at basara-stage.com. So you can check that out. And apparently one thing is that an actual singer, like an actual person who's had experience with anime and stuff, Nami Tamaki, who was in Mobile Suit Gundam Seed, and D. Greyman is going to be playing Oichi. Which, I've only watched an episode of the show, so I don't know who Oichi is. Or why I should care. But this will be an interesting experiment to see happen. Like, it's kind of this and Howl's Moving Castle, the musical, that I want to look at. Because, yeah. Howl's Moving Castle's getting a fucking stage play. By British people, no less. And then moving on to our next piece of news. So, 21 years after its initial release, Right Stuff has licensed the old space anime, Space Adventure Cobra, to be released in America in 2013. So, the entire series will be hitting store shelves will be hitting on store shelves in DVD form and in digital distribution channels in two sets. The series is in 31 episodes, and Right Stuff is splitting it up into two different sets. So that's cool. So Right Stuff is going to be holding a Q&A with the series creator, Buichi Terasawa. And you can submit your questions online at surveymonkey.com/S/W W V R N C 6. I'll post a link to that. So you can submit your questions by February 15th, and then Buichi Terasawa will answer them, if you're interested. And then a final bit of news. We are getting a new Ghost in the Shell anime. So the series is going to be called Ghost in the Shell Arise. And this was announced in the February issue of Kodansha's monthly Young magazine. So, from the looks of it, we don't know much about the actual story of the thing. At least from this article. But we did get a look at our main character, Major Motoko Kusanagi. And it's been announced that Project IG, Production IG, which is the studios who did the Standalone Complex and SAG Second Gig, will be returning to produce. Kazuchika Kisei will be acting as chief director, and To Ubakata will be acting as head writer. So that's cool. And on February 12th, a special called Ghost in the Shell Arise Production Presentation will be streamed live worldwide on Nico Nico, Bandai Channel, and YouTube at 4 a.m. PST, that is 7 p.m. Japan time. And for us over in Eastern time, that's about 7 a.m. So 7 a.m. February 12th, we're getting a special Ghost in the Shell Arise Production Presentation on YouTube. That'd be cool.
There you go.
Yeah, so that does it for news. Now it's time for Anime Club! Woo!
Hooray!
Yeah, so for this week, we watched Digimon Tamers. This is season 3 of Digimon. This was my pick for Anime Club. And this show is pretty fucking ghetto.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we watched... So I don't know about these guys for most of it, but I watched the dub that was released in America, because that's what I grew up with, because fuck you. Yeah, I watched some of the sub, and it was pretty much the exact same. Only the Japanese one was more Japan. If you can believe that. But anyway, so for the show, it kind of just said, you know, fuck season 1 and season 2. We're just going to go with our own thing. And so it takes place in what is ostensibly our world, for the most part, like on the surface. And Digimon is a big multimedia franchise with the anime happening. Like, season 1 and season 2 were actually aired in that world. Digimon is a card game, a computer game. And, yes, and there's one kid named Takato who, like, one day is just hanging out with his friends, and then he finds a mysterious blue card in his box of cards that he doesn't know how to open. Like, seriously, every time he opens that box of cards, he always throws the box on the ground and lets the cards go everywhere. And there aren't card sleeves, so they get all nicked up and shit. You ever heard of a deck box?
Clearly he hasn't.
It's when he finds a blue card and then swipes it through his card reader thing, which does numbers. And then turns into a digivice. You know.
Believe me. Fuck the digivices. When I had the when I used to have Digimon cards, I wish I had just the card reader. The mundane, stupid card reader.
I never even knew there were Digimon cards.
Yeah, I had a large collection, but like most kids in North America, didn't know how to play the game.
Yeah. It's my way then. So then he turns the Digivice, and then he tries scanning in a Digimon that he created. And it works, and his Digimon gets created. And now he has a Digimon named Heelmon.
I wouldn't say he exactly tries scanning it in, and it works as created. He tries ramming his whole notebook through the thing.
Yeah, that fails.
It fails. Then the Digivice itself is smart enough to figure out to do it one piece of paper at a time.
Yeah, and so then that happens, and then Gilmon is made. And he's kind of an idiot.
He's very much an idiot.
Yeah, and then adventures. with a guy who has a Digimon who he doesn't let fight, even though that's what Digimon do. Another one who's a bitch. And then a dumbass. Another dumbass. And the pacifist sister who gets a fucking bunny. And it's weird. It's a really weird show. It's the first Digimon season that I've seen to incorporate genocide. I'm not even kidding.
I haven't gotten that far. I watched the first three episodes.
Yeah, like around like I think episode 15 or something. Like the guy who like the evil guy with the lighter, whose name escapes me.
The lighter that he never fucking lights.
Yeah, lighter that he never lights. He's actually working for a secret government organization called Hypnos, who are like trying to find a way to keep Digimon from like bioemerging, essentially breaking their way into our world. And so he develops like a program that sucks all the Digimon into the sky, like has like a portal thing opened up that sucks all the Digimon in there, and then it destroys them. And so there's actually one scene where just hundreds of Digimon are being sucked up into the sky and being destroyed. So genocide. So yeah, it's a bizarre series. It's really, really strange, but it's kind of awesome.
I gotta say, one of my favorite moments, it acknowledges the strangeness of Japan. Because, okay, so for the first two episodes, he's always trying to hide Giyomon.
Yes.
And then finally in the third episode, he's like, wait, people probably won't notice. He's just walking around the city with Giyomon, and people are like, oh, well, you must have put a lot of work into that. Good job. It's like,
yeah, that's
fucking Japan. This shit's normal. I'm so glad they incorporated that.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's really cool just some of the stuff that they do with this, but the animation is like the biggest thing that kind of just bugs me with it, because there are essentially two sequences from like, so I only watched like the first 15, 16, like 17 episodes, and there are two animation sequences that actually look good. That is the Digimodify sequence when they when the Digimon tamers, who are like the kids who are the Digimon partners, swipe their cards through the Digivices, which then lets them, like, modify their Digimon so that they're more powerful, like, have better armor, or faster can fly. And the Digivolution sequence, where, like, or, like, the Digimon are, like, stripped down to, like, their basic wireframe, then, like, they, like, regrow their skin and, like, make themselves, like, their new Digimon partners, new Digimon forms. And those are the best two pieces of animation in the entire show so far. Everything else is the anime equivalent of Scooby-Doo. It is just awkward looking, and like there are like two different art styles going on between the environment and the people, and they do everything they can to, like, cut the cost. Like when the trees are blowing in the wind, they're just one step above zero punctuation level of animation. They just have that one other frame in between, like, the warping of them, and yeah, like, half the establishing shots from, like, Hypnos thing is just, hey, let's take this overview shot of the city and, you know, like, stretch it or put it in, like, a fisheye lens. And it's so ghetto. Which is, you know, understandable since these guys had, like, the marketing budget of a ham sandwich. And the animation is, God, it's so goddamn, it is messed up, but it does have a certain charm to it. Even though it is, like, really fucking disgusting looking, you still know that, like, oh, hey, yeah, we had, like, $10 a lunch break, some messed up paper and a couple pencil crayons to make this, but we still made something. And for what it is, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, someone was like, here's a bunny. You always should give this bunny fucking guns on his hands. And when the bunny gets the guns out of his hands, he's just like, I'm going to blow up everything. He doesn't get involved in the fight. No, no, no. He starts shooting cars, blowing up the fucking building, points a gun at that bitchy chick.
Well, I mean, when your
and he's just laughing
machine
the whole time. Just, it's, you know what I mean? It's not like a maniacal laugh. It's like a childish laugh, an innocent childish laugh while blowing everything up.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you digivolve and you grow machine gun hands and a bandolier, what the fuck else are you gonna do? not shoot everything?
By the way, is there something I'm missing where Digivolves are now permanent?
No, it's kind of a thing where, like, you Digivolve, but you don't really have any control over the Digivolution. So far, like, when the characters have Digivolved, they've only Digivolved when they've had, like, really strong emotions about the people involved, like Terriermon, Renamon, Gitamon. They only Digivolved when their creators were, like, when their tamers were, like, oh, fuck, they're probably gonna die, I want to save them, let's rush in there, and then the Digivices start glowing, and then Digivolution. But then the Digivolution, it lasts for an indeterminate amount of time before they change back. They don't exactly explain very well how Digivolution works in, like, the first few episodes.
Yeah, because it's all like, don't Digivolve, because then I won't be able to keep you as my pet, and I'll have to...
Yeah, but one thing they do kind of go into is that when their character Digivolve, they kind of change their personality a bit. Like, they're always afraid, with Henry and Terriermon, he's afraid that when he turns into a champion level, he's just going to go fucking buck wild, which he does. And even Takato with Gilmon, he's kind of afraid that when he turns into Growlmon, he turns into, like, a giant fucking dragon. And he's afraid that, oh my god, Gilmon's going to eat me. Even though he's the exact same thing, he's still a giant bitch. And, like, really... It's kind of weird with the thing that they go into with this. But they're always afraid that, like, when... So with Henry, he actually kind of had a point of reference for the Digivolution thing, Henry got his Digimon from the game. Each of these characters kind of got their Digimon from in different ways. So the girl, whose name escapes me, she got Renamon because she was like, oh my god, I want to be the strongest tamer ever. So then she swipes the blue card, and then, like, a bunch of, like, TV screens pop up in her house, and a bunch of Digimon try to get through and, like, grab her, because it kind of looks like a rape scene. But then Renamon shows up, is like, I'll be the strongest, you're gonna make me. It's like, okay, let's do this. Then with Terriermon, it was Henry was playing a video game, and then he saw his character losing, and he got really sad. Because, you know, when I'm playing a video game, my character starts dying, I start getting really emotionally attached to it and realize, oh my god, this is absolutely horrible. This game where I have to fight things is horrible because these things are fighting. Henry's kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, he gets really emotionally attached, and then he swipes the blue card, and then Terriermon flies out of the computer screen at him. Yeah, his thing is that he saw Terriermon Digivolve, and he saw that he was, like, going whole, like, evil and shit, and killing everything, and it's like, oh god, this is absolutely horrible, this is what happened to Digimon Digivolve, I never want to Digivolve again, and then turns and then gets him, and he's like, alright, you're not fighting anymore, you're not Digivolving. But with Takato, there was no reason for that. Like, he knows Gilmon, he fucking made Gilmon. And yet, oh my god, this thing that I made and, like, programmed every single bit of his personality, what if he comes out and he's actually evil?
And he programmed every bit of its personality and made it a complete retard.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to be smarter than him. Otherwise, like, Gilmon would realize, oh wait, my partner's an idiot. Because he is.
And then it'll start getting sassy like Terriermon.
Yeah. You don't want no back sass from his partner? He's there to shoot rats and be awesome.
Yeah, seriously, man, he just fucking vaporized those rats.
Yeah, first episode. Yeah, one thing that was kind of interesting with this thing is kind of something similar that was with Cardfight Vanguard is that the main character is the last guy to get everything. Like, he's the last guy to figure out how to digimodify, he's the last guy to get a digimodify animation sequence, he's the last guy to get his Digimon to digivolve. And it just kind of reminds me of Cardfight Vanguard and the fact that the main character lost every single battle he had, pretty much.
Well, every single important one.
Yeah. Except for that first one. Like, he beat the fucking guy. It's still gonna be honest, but he beat the fucking guy, and the guy's like, you're not worth my time. Even though you beat me.
Dude, he's Seto Kaiba.
I know. He's tied up. Still, fuck. Anyway, back on topic.
Actually, Seto Kaiba's worse. Seto Kaiba loses every single time.
Yes.
It's like, psh, you're so far below me.
Oh, dude, yeah, well, I win.
I beat you every time. Yeah, but I have money. Oh.
Oh, man. Anyway, back on
topic.
I'm going
to go invent some ridiculous invention to defeat you.
Digimon.
Anyways, Digimon. Yes, Digimon.
Yeah, so like I said, this season gets a lot darker with what happens in it. Because like I said, there's the like aforementioned like genocide thing, and there's even a bit where like some of the humans in so like with the Hypnos people, some of them actually start reacting to the horrible violence that's happening. Like they hear the screams of all the Digimon as they're being killed. And some of them actually like break the fuck down and just start crying. It's like, "Oh god, make the yelling stop."
Well, the control panel's next to you.
Yeah.
You don't like the screaming. You put a stop to the fucking genocide!
Yeah, and it's real stupid because the main guy who like actually behind all this, I have no idea why he hates Digimon. Like, seriously, he is so fucking prejudiced against them. Every single scene he's in before he comes back as a good guy is just, Digimon are evil, Digimon are fucking horrible, they're vile creatures that need to be wiped off the face of the planet.
He's Kaiba. He lost a card game when he was a kid, and he has lots of money, so he got bitter and decided to ruin it for everybody.
But he was before Digimon. In this world, Digimon were made in the 1980s. This guy's like 30, 40 years old. Digimon weren't around when he was a kid.
Who said anything about him being a kid? I said he lost a card game, got really bitter about it. Since he has money, he decided to ruin it for everybody. Just because he's grown up doesn't mean he doesn't have the mentality of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, he probably does, because after his planned genocide fails, he like breaks the fuck down and runs off into the woods cursing the children's names. Because the children stopped him. Just three kids. He just runs off like, oh god, everything I've had is in ruins because you fucking kids.
Nah, we've gotten away with it too.
Yeah, who are you meddling kids? Oh, and those mangy Digimon. Now, how would Gilmon say his name like Scooby-Doo?
Gilmon!
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yes, quite. Yeah, so, I guess, want to talk characters?
No.
Yeah, this is...
Okay, you got Goggles Kid with his retarded dragon. You've got Emotional Kid with his sassy bunny. And Bitchy Chick with her bitchy...
We got cold
furry
bitch, cold
thing?
Bitch fox. It's a fox. Its evolved form is Cubimon. Which,
that
I called that.
Bitch.
I called that. If I can call it, it's like, Ninetales on Fire, Cubimon? I was like, Cubimon! I was like, fuck yeah, I did it! I called it! I fucking called it!
Congratulations.
Well, it is kind of a common Japanese lore thing.
I know, but I didn't know that when I was like 9.
Wait, I understand why the one kid hates fighting. He's half Chinese, half Japanese.
Hmm.
His families have been murdering each other for centuries.
Well, that's why he's a pacifist bitch.
Exactly.
So Digimon Tamers, it's all right.
It's the show.
It's Digimon with genocide. Yeah, it's all right. Anyway, yeah. Anything else you guys want? Anything else you guys got to say about Digimon?
Not really, no.
Okay then. So, whose pick is next?
Fine.
Okay, Pudge. What'll I be watching next week?
No, two next episode.
Next episode. Yeah. Fuck it. I don't care.
We'll be watching Arakawa Under the Bridge.
Okay. So we'll be watching that arc. Yeah, so thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at Deathstore Prods. I am at Deadman underscore DD Prods. We have at Bill Yuan and Pudge thinks Twitter is evil.
Yep.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Deathstore Prods. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/Deathstore Prods. Viz for myself, youtube.com/Bill Yuan for Bill Yuan. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of us, etc. So this week on the website, this Friday, we're going to be having the commentary track for Young Frankenstein as part of Mel Brooks Month. Then on Sunday, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live. Please join us at allgames.com/chat Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And let's see what you think of the site and everything. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be having the comic book we're going to be having the comic book podcast, as well as personal issues. I believe next week I'll be taking a look at what's so funny about Truth, Justice, the American Way. Then on Friday, we're going to be having the movies podcast, as well as the final commentary track for Mel Brooks Month. We'll be watching The Producers. So, until all that, I'm the Deadman.
I'm Bobby One.
And I'm Peter.
We'll see you guys next time.